This is the Jefferson Exchange on JPR. A whole lot gets said about housing and homelessness these days, especially as the two states in our region struggle with ways to address the situation. We'll focus on homeless young people with someone who spent years working with them. Vicky Sokolik is the author of the book, If You See Them, Young, Unhoused, and Alone in America. Vicky is the founder and executive director of SRN, starting right now. In two Florida counties, SRN provides social and health services to homeless young people who are not living with parents or guardians and not in foster care. Vicky has pushed successfully for a number of changes to state law in Florida to give more rights to homeless young people. Vicky Sokolik, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very honored to be here.
Well, the dedication of the book is to all my kids. How many by now?
Oh my gosh, over 300.
Wow.
And they're all very special and inspirational.
Well, and you tell some of their stories, some of their individual stories in the book, and but then, you know, of course, some of the facts of their lives, these are sobering from the get-go. I mean, what kinds of things have happened to SRN clients?
I mean, you know, take Courtney, for instance, who's featured in the book, and here's a student who had all A's and never had an issue in school, never missed a day, and all of a sudden is missing days on end for like a week. She's actually causing problems in the school. She's picking fights because she's so jealous of kids who have parents. And her grades are slipping. And come to find out that she's sleeping on a park bench. And the reason that she's missing school is because during her menstrual cycle, she doesn't have access to feminine hygiene products. And you look at someone like that and you think, I mean, how could that be happening in America? She enters our program and, you know, just soars because she has stable housing and academic support and resources. Today, Courtney is a nurse. She's a mother, a wife, a homeowner, and her daughter will never have the plight of homelessness.
Never.
Never.
Well, talk about the situation then. I mean, you talked about it was not possible for Courtney to live with her parents. Why? I mean, why is staying at home with family or what's left of family in some cases just not an option for most, if not all, of the clients you see in SRN?
I mean, there's so much abuse. There's, you know, unfortunately, parents who have substance addiction. There's a lot of death of parents that we see where kids are left with no one, which is just unfathomable. And there's unfortunately a lot of sexual abuse that's going on in the home that the student says, I'm out of here. I'm not doing this anymore. But they all share, you know, that the eviction story of like moving from house to house and really never having stability.
They really do some amazing things to piece together a life, don't they?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, these kids are so resourceful. Even Courtney, you know, living on that park bench, she had figured out that she could join the lacrosse team and shower. And so you're talking about, you know, really like creative thinking kids who can work through survival skills.
So talk about the things that are available for them or the lack thereof. I mean, obviously you wouldn't have created SRN if all the bases were getting covered. There is a wide array of homeless services for adults. What, for example, does government often have for young people or doesn't?
Well, so for this particular population of kids, which are, you know, coded as unaccompanied homeless youth, which means that the student is not living with the parent or guardian, and they're not eligible for foster care because they left home versus being taken from their home. And that doesn't mean that foster care hasn't been in to investigate the home, but they didn't find abuse, neglect, or abandonment. And so the, you know, student finally says, forget it, I'm out of here. Unfortunately, you know, when I first started working with this population, there were no laws to protect these kids. The only law that existed was a federal legislation called McKinney-Vento, which really, you know, made sure that these kids got an education, but didn't get to the root of the problem that they couldn't get their education if they didn't have stability. and food. And so, you know, we created not only a place where the kids now do have safe housing, they are food secure, they get academic support, they get every type of social services. They go through programming to make sure that they go through anger management and mindfulness and meditation at Del Carnegie, a whole plethora. And we have been able in Florida, I'm really proud to say, to change 10 laws so that these kids now have a safety net in Florida. But if you look at other states, there is no safety net for these kids. And there's 1.7 million of these kids accounted for across our country. I can tell you that that number is inaccurate because when we interview students for our program, they haven't been coded yet. So that number is probably double. And other states need to step up and make sure that these kids have protection.
Vicki Zocolic is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the founder and executive director of SRN, Starting Right Now, helping homeless young people in Florida. She's written a book called If You See Them, Young, Unhoused, and Alone in America. Vicki, you almost backed into helping all these young people. Tell the story of the holiday baskets that you were delivering.
So I was delivering holiday baskets to homeless families that were living in motels, and ended up meeting a woman who had worked for Frito-Lay for 10 years and was living in this motel for a full year. And I couldn't figure out why she would be living in this motel, but the agreement that I had made with the school district was that I was not going to ask any questions. That was the agreement. But I couldn't get her out of my mind. All night I was thinking about her, trying to figure out, you know, why she would be living in this motel, and drove my husband crazy all night. And I called her the next day and said, you know, would you meet me for coffee? And came to find out that she was escaping domestic violence and was determined to do it on her own, but could not come up with the chunk of money that she needed in order to put the deposits down. And it just struck me that there was like a simple solution for her problem that she wasn't able to do, and I was. And so without my husband knowing, I co-signed a lease and I furnished it, and then came home and told him, and he thought that I was absolutely crazy. But, you know, it was like the greatest joy to realize that we were doing something bigger than just delivering a turkey. You know, this was really going to change the trajectory of their life and the kids' lives that were there. And because we started doing that annually, my son came home his second day of his senior year of high school and started telling me about a girl in his class who stood up and was going to drop out of school and go work full time because her home was no longer safe. And, you know, it just struck me. Here's this 17-year-old that is now not going to get a high school diploma and doesn't have an advocate. And so as a family, we started helping her. And she was my first understanding of an unaccompanied homeless youth. And in helping her, I came to find that there were hundreds of these kids that needed help. And I don't know, once you know, it's like, how can you can't be an ostrich anymore, right? I mean, you know, and so you have to help them.
Is that the one you referred to as Amanda in the book?
Yes, exactly.
Uh-huh. And so, but her situation was unique. How often hard is it for young people to say out loud what their situation is?
Well, they won't. I mean, she was very different in that she was very upfront and verbose about her situation. Most of the time, the kids are hiding because they're so shameful that they can't be at home. And they're afraid of what would happen to their parent, to their siblings, and to them if they come out and announce that they need help, because these kids don't realize that help exists.
Well, and there's also the other element of that, you know, when things fall apart in a child's home, whether it's got anything to do with them being at the center of it or not, kids being kids tend to take blame upon themselves.
You are 100% correct. There is so much guilt and blame put on the child. And one of the things that we do in our organization is reframe that. We help the kids reframe their story because actually they've just inherited inequities through no fault of their own. They don't get to carry that blame or guilt because it's not theirs.
We're talking to Vicki Sokolic here on the Jefferson Exchange, the author of the book, If You See Them, Young, Unhoused, and Alone in America. You mentioned McKinney-Vento and that federal legislation that does make sure that services do get to unaccompanied homeless youth. We've talked about it a fair amount. But if young people do go without services, how likely, Vicki, that they'll end up in contact with the justice system instead?
Oh, it's going to happen. Because what happens is, you are going to survive, and so you're probably going to go steal. You may rob someone. Survival sex is a really big thing among this population because as a 17-year-old, you have one thing, which is your body. And so the probability is extremely high. Even in Courtney's case, you know, she was freezing outside and stole a jacket, and she got, you know, arrested. We've had a student that was in our program before she entered our program that actually stole Tampax from a big box store and was arrested. Like, you wouldn't stop and ask that child, why are you stealing Tampax?
Has that much at least improved? I mean, because I know there's a lot of places, including the campus where we host JPR that provides period products for free. Is more of that happening around you?
Well, it's interesting because Florida just passed legislation just recently to supply feminine hygiene products. That was not the case until months ago.
Well, what we haven't asked about so far is as you got deeper into helping homeless young people, you know, obviously your son brought Amanda to your attention, but how accepting of, you know, was your husband Joel, were your other child Corey, of your efforts to help young people?
Oh, completely. I mean, once we helped Chalet, and which was the first family with, you know, the Frito-Lay. And saw the difference that made. I mean, my husband was completely on board, and my kids were always on board with doing philanthropy with me. That was, like, never a question. You know, you want to be happy, help someone else. That's the greatest way to find happiness.
You got very involved with Amanda and David around the same time, and I wonder if they had gotten any of the services that McKinney-Vento is there to provide.
No, as a matter of fact, that's so interesting that you say that, because at the time, unaccompanied homeless youth were so not recognized that Amanda was actually eligible for transportation to school, and we were never told that. So we were never told about the McKinney-Vento Act with Amanda. I didn't even know it existed until I started helping more kids and really started investigating, like, well, what laws are here to protect these kids? And that's the only thing that I could find. And even with that, you know, the McKinney-Vento Act is great if you get coded and if you advocate for help. But most kids are not going to do that.
When you say coded, is that you're identified as a person in need and the needs are identified by your code?
Yes. So what happens is, if you go to school and you have to fill out a residency form every school year and you check that you're not living with your parent or guardian, the school district codes you as an unaccompanied homeless youth, which is when the McKinney-Vento Act is supposed to kick in. But, you know, is a kid going to check that? I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, the kids we serve are not, you know, that we go interview haven't checked it because they weren't coded that. And yet they're not with their parent or guardian. And, you know, as a 15, 16, 17-year-old, are you going and demanding services that you're entitled to? You probably don't even know what you're entitled to.
We'll pick up the story on the other side of a break. This is the Jefferson Exchange. Our guest is Vicky Sokolic, the author of If You See Them, Young, Unhoused, and Alone in America. The conversation continues here on the Jefferson Exchange in just a bit. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of JPR, I'm Jeffrey Riley. We are talking about homeless youth in America, specifically the category referred to as unaccompanied homeless youth. They have some services coming to them through the federal legislation known as McKinney-Vento, but a lot of kids don't get those services. People like Vicky Sokolic step up to provide them through her agency, SRN, Starting Right Now, which provides services in two Florida counties. Vicky's written a book about how she got into this. It's called If You See Them, Young, Unhoused, and Alone in America. And Vicky, I haven't talked about the title thus far. I mean, a lot of these people are hidden from view, aren't they?
Oh, I mean, yes, and purposely. They try in every way to become invisible. And that's really the biggest problem, because you have to really be looking for them to notice them. And yet they're in every classroom. They're probably, you know, on sports activities at schools. They're walking through malls. They're everywhere. And yet they really go undetected.
And so your process of getting involved with people to greater and greater degrees over time, I mean, we've talked about your family embracing what you were doing, but talk about the process of drawing some boundaries for yourself. I mean, how hard was it to back off, for example, when people like Chalet told you they wanted space?
It's hard because, you know, you develop this relationship, or you think it's a relationship, and you don't want it to be just a transaction, because you don't want anyone to ever feel like it's charity, because that's not what we're doing. And so it's hard. There's like a fine line. But, you know, since Starting Right Now has started and offers services, that's not the case anymore. I mean, the alumni are still very much a part of my life. And as a matter of fact, I mean, I'm a grandma to several kids that have kids now, because they're stable and in jobs and in relationships that are stable. And so I see it as a lifelong relationship. It's changed.
Talk about how this got to broader attention, how it turned into SRN, and how, for example, the mayor of Tampa learned of your work with David and Amanda.
Yeah, so I was at a tea that I really did not want to go to, where the mayor was just doing like a community talk. And one of my friends said, you should hear what she's doing with all these homeless families. And at the time, it was the delivering turkeys. And then Amanda and David were thrown in there as well. And I really didn't think anything about it. But a couple of days later, my phone rang, and I answered it, and this woman said to me, I'm looking for Vicky Sokolic. And I said, this is she. And she said, oh, this is Mayor Pam Iorio. And I love what you're doing with all these, this homeless youth. Would you come in and talk to me? And so my husband and I went in and met with her, and she said, you know, why does what you do work? And I said, well, we're not passing out money at all. We are opening up doors and giving them opportunities. And I kind of felt like I was a concierge at the time. The kids would tell me things they would need, and I would go figure out how to get it. And she said, if I helped you get a board of directors together, would you do this citywide? And at the time, I literally laughed and said, I mean, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm hip shooting. And she said, well, it seems to be working. I mean, you know, since then, we've changed 10 laws at the state level and helped more than 300 kids. So I guess my initial hip shooting has become much more fluid, and we have a whole staff now that helps these kids.
Well, talk about the way SRN works now. I mean, who do you take in? What do you do with them?
I mean, we are completely holistic, because we believe that you can't just give someone a bed. That's geography. You have to be able to treat the whole person. And so the minute they get into our program, they get stable housing. They have food at their disposal, because food insecurity is such a horrible thing for a child. And then they get academic support, which includes tutoring and helping them plan what is their next goal. 1% of our kids go to the military, 9% go to vocational training, and the rest go to higher education. And it's their decision, not ours. They get social services resources so that they can go to mental health appointments. They can go to preventative medicine appointments, which our kids have never done, and go to the dentist, which the kids have never done. They get financial literacy at an extremely high level. They work 20 hours a week, and their earned income is actually what they use to budget and bank. So they learn how to take 30% of their income and put it in savings and don't touch it. And the rest they budget. And we check that every week to make sure that they're following it, which really forms a habit. And then they go through our programming. We have developed our own curriculum so that they can, it's trauma-informed care, where they're able to reframe their story and tell it in a way that's empowering and inspirational to them rather than shameful. And I'm really proud of that. And they learn tools that they'll take forever in their life. They learn to meditate and be mindful and anger management. And they go through a Dale Carnegie class. And I mean, it is a full, you know, curriculum that they go to every single Monday and Wednesday. And then, you know, our help doesn't stop there. If they go to vocational training or higher education, even though they're moving on and living in a dorm, we are still doing case management with them until they get into their career. And so now we have, you know, EMTs and firefighters and nurses and social workers and teachers and a doctor back in our community serving the community that helped them. And that's how you build stronger communities.
Vicki Sokolic is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the founder and executive director of SRN, Starting Right Now, and the author of If You See Them, Young, Unhoused, and Alone in America. Okay, so you mentioned helping more than 300 young people by now. Is there a wait list? Do you turn people away?
Yeah, so we don't do a wait list only because, you know, if you're homeless, you got to go figure out where you're going. You know, the only time we go into an interview thinking we want to help every single student we meet. And the only times that we really can't is, you know, there'll be a student that once we tell them all of our rules, which is, you know, you're 100% accountable when you're walking in, they may choose that, whoa, this is not going to work for me. You know, that curfew and all that isn't going to work for me. And the other thing is that if they have severe mental health diagnosis where we feel like they could be harmful to themselves or harmful to another student, then they really need a therapeutic setting, which is not our program. And so we would, you know, tell them we should refer them to that.
Despite all these efforts, are there some people who fall through the cracks? They are not eligible. You can't take them. They need greater services. They don't go to those. I mean, there are some people still living out there without any particular help, it sounds like.
Absolutely. I mean, the problem is much larger than we would ever be able to solve. But the more people that know about this across the nation, I mean, hopefully, you know, more people will be able to offer programs like we are giving that's holistic, that can really get to the root of the problem and help these kids. But the problem is big and it's growing.
And what would you say is the most important single service that you provide at SRN?
Love. Unconditional love, which the kids have never had.
And you mentioned, Vicki, that you've gone beyond providing services. Talk about those state laws. You mentioned 10 laws that you've helped pass. What are some of the things in Florida that you've been able to get enacted that will help young people on their own?
So, you know, if you are a minor, getting access to your birth certificate or Social Security card, you can't do it. You need your parents to give that to you. And most of our parents won't give it to the kids. I mean, either they've lost them because of all of the evictions and the moving and they just don't even know where they are, or they're just not going to give it to them. If you don't have your birth certificate, I mean, you can't even work and you can't take the SAT and you can't get a state ID and all these things that you need to function. And now I'm really proud to say that because of our advocacy, we authored a law that if you are coded as an unaccompanied homeless youth in the state of Florida, you can get access to your birth certificate and your Social Security card as a minor. That's huge. The second thing that is so important is that our kids could not get medical services, and so they were using the ER as their, you know, doctor, which is not good for anybody. We were able to change the Medicaid law so that now if you're an unaccompanied homeless youth, you can actually get Medicaid separate from your parents and you can consent for your health care as a minor. I mean, huge, because our kids need mental health care. They've been through extreme trauma. And now they're able to actually get it. And then we just kept going on and on. I mean, you know, there was a service for foster care kids that is called Keys to Independence, that foster care kids were helped to get their driver's license and to pay for insurance. And it wasn't for unaccompanied youth. And we amended that law and made sure that our kids were eligible for that as well. We made sure that our kids were eligible for food stamps. We made sure that our kids had tuition waivers that were similar to what foster care kids get, because they should be eligible to have their tuition waived at a state college. So, I mean, we have done a lot of groundwork to make sure that these kids have a safety net and can be successful.
So back to the title, if you see them, and a lot of people don't for, you know, not only their own reasons, but the people are not really out there saying, hey, I'm here, I need help. What is the thing you most want people to know about unaccompanied homeless youth?
Well, you know, before I started this, or was introduced to this population, if you would have told me that a kid was kicked out of their home or they had to leave their home or separate from their family, I would have immediately thought bad kid. And that is so wrong. It's really bad hand. These kids have inherited inequities that they shouldn't have. And really, if you just help them reshuffle their deck, they can be anything, and they are what will make our entire nation stronger, because they're back. Most of our kids are back in service industries. And so I hope that the connotation goes away. And the other thing I hope is that, you know, if you see kids don't act out for no reason. I believe that if a kid is acting out in school, something's going on with them at home. I mean, kids walk in the classroom with their home life attached to them. And I just hope that the conversation changes to, you know, what are you doing? What's the matter with you? To, is something going on? Do you need help? And that's really what I hope. And then they will be seen.
Well, the stories can be tough to read at times and frustrating as well, but ultimately it's an inspiring story. It is called If You See Them, Young, Unhoused, and Alone in America, written by Vicky Sokolik, who is the founder and executive director of SRN, starting right now in Hillsborough and Pinellas counties in Florida. Vicky, thanks so much for sharing the story with us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you so much for having me. I feel very honored to be featured, so thank you so much.
And that's it for today's Jefferson Exchange. Visit us online at jeffexchange.org, where all of our interviews are archived, or pick them up at your favorite podcast site. Angela Decker of JPR News is our senior producer. Charlie Zimmerman, a student at Southern Oregon University, our assistant producer. Our other student engineer is Zach Beagle. Maxwell and Terry Longshore composed our theme music. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great day.